Good day and welcome to KCXU 92.7. This is Belinda Quesada, your host, and we have with us today Rob Means, who's the innovator of Loop. Well, he's the secretary at LoopWorks, but he's the innovator of a very creative idea that we're going to talk about today. And it is called the Personal Rapid Transportation, the PRT, and Rob's going to explain everything about this great idea and the collaboration and going forward, what he feels LoopWorks, the nonprofit company, can bring to the Bay Area. Rob, good morning and welcome to KCXU. We're really excited to have you. Please tell us, maybe first let's start with a little bit about yourself. You're from Bakersfield originally?
Well, born in Los Angeles, but raised in Bakersfield until I left for college down at UC Irvine. Then, you know, got my degree and then came up here to the Bay Area and been here ever since, working with the, originally in the computer industry as a programmer, did most of my time getting those connections between computers that are the basis for our internet. And then after 20 years of that career and it was no longer particularly fun, then I found my way into electric bikes and scooters. And did that for about 17 years until my services were no longer needed because there was actually an electric bike and scooter industry out there that could take over because I was just operating a small business from my home. And it was at that point that I started getting more involved in the community and promoting this personal rapid transit technology that is uses electricity, is clean, quiet, efficient, provides all the kinds of things that people would normally want out of a transit service, and started talking about that. And it's been 5 years we've been working on LoopWorks, and we're going to be having our five-year update coming up next month, early August. We'll be presenting to the community what we've accomplished over the last 5 years.
That's wonderful. Congratulations. And now we talked about LoopWorks, your company being a nonprofit. Tell us, LoopWorks is your idea for, and how we found each other was that you're promoting the, you're basically trying to make money, of course, because it's a small nonprofit and you want to grow this idea of personal rapid transit. Am I getting that correctly?
More or less. Obviously, if we're going to maintain a service that goes on, is sustainable, we definitely need to have an income to keep it going. And I think that we've identified, in addition to the fare box, which may or may not make all that big a piece of the picture, we've identified another 23 possible revenue streams that we could use for the actual operations. But first off, we've got to get it built, and that's going to require the initial capital investment of roughly $60 million. And that's what we've been pursuing for the last couple of years, and trying to nail that down so that we get more attention from our city council, which has not adopted the idea very warmly just yet.
Right. Okay. Now, well, you know, I know all good ideas come with a little bit of struggle, so, you know, that's anticipated. Tell us about the rapid technology in regarding your particular idea.
So this, the personal rapid transit is a technology that we put together into a network, which is called an automated transit network. We're going to be starting with probably a minimal network, shall we say, just two loops. And the technology starts with the vehicle. And what you get into is we call it a cab. It's roughly the inside of a regular sedan, but it's small. It doesn't have the front hood and all the stuff and heavy stuff underneath that. It doesn't have the trunk space. It's just got the cabin for the passengers, which can hold one, two, three, maybe four people, squeeze them in there a little bit. But the main thing is that these cabs are lightweight because we're going to be moving these cabs up 16 feet up in the air and more to make sure that they clear traffic, semi-trucks, and everything else that's like running around underneath here. And by keeping the weight of the vehicles down, we can keep the weight and cost of the guideway down. And it's that guideway that represents more than 50% of the cost, so obviously we want to keep the cost of that down. And that's the way to do it. Small, lightweight vehicles that transport 1 to 4 people. It's kind of like a horizontal elevator.
Right.
You know, you go there to one of these cab stands and you get to the cab. You get in, you tell it where you want to go, it takes you there nonstop. You bypass all the other stations between your origin station and your destination station. And it does that quickly, efficiently, faster, actually, than you could do it in your car for relatively short trips, you know, anything up to about 10 miles.
Right. And, yeah, it's fascinating. The website, LoopWorks, it's milpitasprt.com?
Correct.
Okay. So when I'm on your website, I'm looking around. It's fascinating. The idea, like you said, an elevator that's horizontal rather than vertical. And it sounds like such a basic concept, but like you think, now you, when we talked earlier, you did say that there were other communities that are employing this idea that, I mean, that actually have this project up and running. And what's the success of those areas? Those other locations?
Well, possibly the worst example has actually been up and running very well for 50 years. We're talking about the system at the University of West Virginia in Morgantown, West Virginia, and that system was created during the Nixon years, and they actually started building the system before they got done designing the system, and as you can imagine, that led to a number of different problems and cost overruns and whatnot. But nevertheless, that system has been carrying students and sometimes in big crunches to go to games, football games, for the last 50 years. And they're about ready to upgrade the vehicles. I understand they've submitted a bid to the federal government to get funding to do that. And that, there's a system that's well documented. We know, you know, pretty much how much that system costs and what the maintenance costs on it and whatnot. Some of the others are privately done, and then we don't have as good a numbers for them because, you know, they tend to keep things quiet. But there's the PRT system at Heathrow Airport connecting Terminal 5 with the long-term parking. We've got a system in Abu Dhabi, Suncheon Bay, an environmentally sensitive area in South Korea, has a system that allows people to get in and out without, you know, intruding on the environment there very much. And then, of course, there's the Modutram system that's being built down in Mexico, which the last I heard they were shooting to open that the end of this year. And then, of course, we've got the spinoff from, of course, that's not built yet. And the one I'm thinking of is the one down in New Zealand from the Google spinoff called Swift Cities. And they have got plans to do a system down there, and they're probably, you know, still at the early stages of doing that. But there's been a number of different systems around the world. It's just we haven't done anything in the U.S. lately. Although, having said that, we do have a local company called GlideWaves, which is looking into getting a connection between Diridon, Caltrain Station, and the airport using PRT technology. So if you want to see it happening, that's another possibility.
So does that interfere or possibly enhance the idea of Milpitas PRT transit? The fact that there's one happening in another city? I mean, it seems, because I know primarily you were talking about, you know, it's money. It all boils down to money. Like, you need money to, you have a great idea. You know that it's viable, but you can't get the prototypes done and all of that without having, you know, investors.
Without having funds. Now, the money can come from, for example, foundations. There's a number of foundations out there, although there's not a lot of money spent on climate solutions by foundations. There's quite a number of foundations that say they're looking for climate solutions. So if they were to, you know, pony up the money, they would get in return all the data, all the results that come out of this project, including the cost, the maintenance issues, the political issues, the environmental issues, all of the lots of data and lots of information.
Right, right.
And that could be dispensed across the world real easily. Foundations, Investor groups would be another place to look. And based on the numbers I've seen, if you get a system that is a minimum coverage of 10 square miles, so we're talking roughly maybe 80 stations covering, you know, serving that area where we've got stations in every neighborhood, then that should, out of the fare box, be able to cover the cost, the operating cost. Actually, based on the numbers that came from one source, it would actually pay back the original loan and pay for operating costs just out of the fare box. And then, of course, the larger the system gets, the more economic it is and the more viable it is. So we're offering that kind of a possibility to investor groups. To the federal and state governments, both of them are looking for climate solutions also, and we're saying, hey, this is a great investment. If you work on this particular project, you're going to get the numbers you need to actually start talking about using this technology in lots of places, in lots of different ways, and actually make a big dent in our CO2 emissions by moving people from gas-burning cars onto this electric transportation system.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I'm fascinated with just the idea of this alternative mode to transportation, but you know, I'm not glossing over the fact that the environment is, we need it. I mean, we need to put something on the road that can move many people, and in the PRT that your company Loopworks has modeled is a smaller adoption of that. It's kind of like a BART system, but smaller. But it's not, but let's talk about, before I go on to that next thought, let's talk about the environment and how the environment will benefit from this, because so many people are concerned about that, and as well we should be. And the PRT project that Loopworks has speaks to that perfectly.
Yes, we have an incredibly huge problem to solve in reducing our CO2 emissions. And it's primarily a political problem. We've got the technology to do it, but it's a political problem. And this, you know, it's a problem that's been apparent since the mid-90s. In fact, that's why I got into the electric bike and scooter business, was, hey, here's an alternative to the car that makes a lot of sense, it's easy to use, relatively inexpensive. The ROI is just really good on electric bikes and scooters. If you can substitute those trips for car trips, you're just money ahead kind of a deal.
Right.
And so as I transitioned out of that and into PRT, it's, again, this is a technology that's using electricity. It's using it very, very efficiently, because you don't stop at every signal or stop sign or whatever might be in the way that's going to have you to stop between your origin and your destination. So once you get up to speed, it's just really low energy cost to keep things moving. And when that low energy type is coming from solar panels, which it is for us here in Milpitas, because we get our energy from Silicon Valley Clean Energy, then it suddenly becomes a real good alternative in terms of reducing CO2 emissions, particularly if you can expand that network to cover a large area. I mentioned the 10 square miles earlier. That's a suggestion that we're posing right now to the VTA to connect the BART station at Berryessa with the Caltrain station at Diridon, and say, look, we need to get those two connected, but we don't really need to use PR or BART technology at $12 billion and four stations to do it with. We can use this kind of technology. So go ahead, invest in this technology, in this particular demonstration project, so we can know whether it makes sense to replace something like the connection between BART and Caltrain. But if you really start looking at it as a real area-wide solution, which is how the original thinkers about PRT were thinking, then it suddenly becomes, okay, well, what can we do with what kind of money and what kind of impact will that have? And it looks to me, based on the numbers we've run, is that for roughly $7 billion, less than the cost of the BART extension phase two that goes underground, it costs $12 billion. For less than that $12 billion, you can get 100 square miles of coverage, 10 miles by 10 miles, where you've got eight stations per square mile. Every neighborhood has got a local station. It's, you know, a few blocks away at the most. Walk down to the station or the stop or the stand or whatever we're going to call it. get onto the cab and go anywhere in that 100 square miles quicker than you can in your automobile. And once that is established and people are familiar with it and accustomed to it, that could be replacing a very substantial, if not a majority, of the car trips that are happening in that 100 square mile space. And we figure that there's at least three different areas in the Bay Area where 100 square miles of PRT coverage would make sense. And when you start extrapolating that across the world and all the different places that they have potential for this kind of technology, you start talking about a $1 trillion industry that has a major, major impact on reducing CO2 emissions from all these gas-powered vehicles.
Mm-hmm. Our guest today is Rob Means. He's the innovator and one of the leaders in LoopWorks, the MilpitasPRT.com nonprofit that talks about PRT, transportation, personal rapid transportation, and that's what we're discussing today. And Rob, I completely agree with you, of course. I mean, it sounds like such a simple solution to have people traveling in vehicles that are emissions, what's the word I'm looking for? Not emissions, light.
Emissions free, yeah.
Emissions free, thank you.
Don't dump that fossil fuel carbon dioxide stuff into the air anymore.
Right, right. And it's brilliant. I mean, and if you go to MilpitasPRT.com, you're going to see what Rob and his beautiful wife put together. What's your wife's name?
Carol.
Carol, because Carol did a fantastic job on that video. I saw that video. It's so impressive that she did. So if you go to MilpitasPRT.com, you'll see Carol's work there. You'll see Rob's vision. You'll learn all about it. If you can contribute to this, we're a radio station. This is a program. But if you're someone out there that has money, that has influence, that knows someone and says, hey, this idea is great, we would love to see more of this. I mean, potentially this could be, I'm guessing, Rob, that this could. So Milpitas is the starting point of the LoopWorks project for the PRT, the personal rapid transportation. The little cabs that send people from point A to point B without any interruption, free of charge, correct? If it's
funded?
Well,
we're going to start off that the dual loop system is, we're anticipating, will be free of charge at least to start with. If we do need to start charging fares, it will probably only begin and maybe only apply when people go out of this original system, which serves the BART station, the BART Transit Center, which is the BART, the LRT, and the bus terminal that's there, and everything else that's grown up around that BART Transit Center. The Great Mall, there's like seven different housing areas we're connecting, and it's an amazing project for a demonstration project.
Right. It sounds well thought of, yes.
And we're anticipating that we will add on to this system and grow it to ultimately serve most of Milpitas. But it doesn't prevent any other city from doing likewise in their area because the technology we're talking about here is not proprietary. It was open source created, and anybody could use it and run with it.
So that was your idea initially with LoopWorks, to create this PRT system for your area because you live there, and it just makes sense. It's your community that you know and love. But your idea was to, I mean, that's unusual because most inventors want to keep their source matter info private because they want to be able to make money off it in the future. You're not advocating that.
No, and I don't consider myself an inventor. This stuff has been laying around, and I just kind of picked it up and said, hey, look at this, folks, and nobody was, seemingly willing to look at it, so I just keep, doing what I can to promote the technology and the concept.
Right. Right. Yeah, it's fascinating. Okay, you're listening to KCXU 92.7 FM, and our guest is Rob Means. He's with LoopWorks. He's the secretary there, but he's, of course, much more. And thanks to his lovely wife, Carol, they have this great project with all the information you need is at MilpitasPRT.com. And we're talking about the PRT, the Personal Rapid Transportation project that he's working on for the Milpitas area. But I'm thinking, like you said, it can be picked up by other areas, and it's not prioritized just for your area. What's your long-range goal with this? Would you like it to be statewide, nationwide? I mean, where's the limit here, I guess?
I guess the limit is when the ROI turns south.
And describe that for our guests who may not, listeners who may not know.
The return on investment. Right now, we have all these various transit agencies and their transit systems, whether it's buses, which come in a couple of different flavors, of course. It comes in the bus rapid transit if you want to make some big hops, or the neighborhood bus system. We've got the LRT, we've got the BART. And the question becomes, and also shuttles and whatnot, the question becomes, well, how expensive is it to move people around? And is there a less expensive way that can also provide better service? And as long as you can answer that question yes with PRT, then it seems to me that PRT should be starting to spread. And the limit of that spread is where the ROI starts to not make sense. And it may not make sense in rural areas, for example, where there's not enough people to actually support a system like that. But let's get back to, you know, metropolitan areas like
right.
the Bay Area.
Right.
And there's lots of places like this, you know, around the world, Shanghai, Moscow, South Africa. There's, I mean, places
yeah.
all over the world have huge populations sprawling over hundreds of square miles. And any one of those is a candidate for building this kind of a system and replacing many, 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 if not most of the gas-powered trips with electric-powered PRT trips.
I love it. Now, I'm going to ask like an obvious question that I'm sure you've been asked before. What happens when it's like really bad weather outside? Because these pods, these PRTs, are suspended in the air, 16 feet, you said, so roughly...
It's supported in the air. So the guideway is up there 16 feet up, and then on top of the guideway is the actual caps.
Okay, right. So it's like essentially a monorail system, like the kind at Disneyland, or am I correct on that assumption?
That's actually probably the closest analogy that most people are familiar with, but obviously a much, much smaller scale.
Okay.
And therefore much, much lighter weight, and therefore much, much less expensive. So, yeah.
So this PRT or pod I'm saying suspended, that's not correct. So it's on a track. And it goes from, you said a dual loop, so it goes, which means it goes around and around, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So, and that's just a model, so it really could be anything, anywhere. Could it be conceived to be, like, on the ground as well?
Yes, in fact, I believe that's been Glideway's primary focus, is to find on-the-ground routes that they could use. And I know that they've looked at something up in Contra Costa County, and like I mentioned earlier, they're looking at this connection, 3-mile connection between Diridon Station and the airport.
Right, right.
And so, yeah, they are looking primarily for the on-the-ground, because when they start moving their stuff up in the air, it costs a lot more than our stuff, shall I say, simply because they've got 2,000-pound vehicles, we've got 1,000-pound vehicles.
Oh, I see.
And that,
right.
that makes a huge difference in the structure that you're going to be supporting and the cost and weight of that structure. So, absolutely. Hey, if you can put it on the ground, it's cheaper. There's a rule of thumb in the transportation industry that says, hey, if it costs 1x at ground level, it'll cost 2x elevated and 3x if you go underground. Now, the BART extension has shown us that 3x number can actually grow to 4x or 5x, depending on the conditions underground. So
this is a much better opportunity for people for engineers and others who are interested in doing projects like this for transportation. To get on board with something that certainly costs less money and it's less invasive and so on and so on. Wow, I hope Milpitas gets this. I really do. I hope you guys can pull it off. It would put your city on the map.
Yeah, we've already been on the map for a number of other things, but this would be definitely kind of a worldwide attraction for the first few years.
Yeah,
so
yes, yes.
That's one of the, quote, selling points, unquote, that I've been promoting for our local officials, and our Chamber of Commerce clearly sees the benefit of this technology, and they've actually written a letter in support of the project, which is on our website, and if you go to the support PRT portion, there's a button up there at the top of all the pages, support PRT, you'll find out about letters of support, which your listeners and anybody, any of the organizations that they might represent, may be interested in supporting the project. But you'll find there different ways that folks can support the project. I'm going to stop there.
Okay, and your address again, your email, I'm sorry, your website address again, please.
That's milpitasprt.com.
Okay,
PRT for personal rapid transit.
Yes, thank you. Okay, you're listening to KCXU 92.7. Our guest today is Rob Means. Rob, you said you were born in Los Angeles and you were raised in Bakersfield. And I love this that you said, talking about your formative high school years, you were saying that your dad helped you get a legal courier job that allowed you to make money while you were in high school. So you felt like, you know, you were actually doing a lot of positive things then, and you were able to save up money and go to school. And you went to UC Irvine, and you have your BS in computer science. Tell us a little bit about your early background.
My early background?
Well, okay, let's jump from high school, college, to working in high tech.
So, with a college degree in computer science at a time when the industry was just getting started, we're talking about the early 70s here, it just kind of put me in the catbird seat. So, I got connected with 4Phase early on. They had an innovative idea for that made data stations cheaper, and so I worked with them for a number of years, and then a number of years with another company. Folks may remember Amdahl. That was the last outfit
yes.
I was working with, working on their front-end processors that did handle this communications between their computer and other computers. And that's where, I found my niche to say, okay, let's get this stuff working together so that we can exchange information and really create the foundation for the Internet and the World Wide Web. So
wow.
That was fun. I enjoyed that immensely. And then when I didn't, then I got into something else that was a lot of fun, the electric bikes and scooters. And that came out of, I just saw an ad, for a Zap electric motor kit, add-on kit for your bicycle. And I got it, tried it, and said, holy mackerel, this is nice. And I put some people on it. I was at that point in time part of the Bicycle Transportation Advisory Committee here in Milpitas. And we were doing a bike corral. And at that particular event, I think it was July 4th of 1996, that I gave some folks rides on the electric bike, and they all kept coming back with smiles on their faces, and I said, whoa, wait a minute, there might be a business opportunity here. So that's when I started operating out of my home before Lee Iacocca got into the business, I guess, and then he got into the business with his electric bike setup, but wasn't able to sustain it after, 5-7 years or something. But because I had an almost zero overhead, the little amount of money that came in as a result of my sales, service, and marketing efforts on behalf of electric bikes, I was actually able to kind of keep going and lasted longer than he did, which I as a medal of honor, so to speak.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, you're right.
And then, like I say, once electric bikes and scooters became a thing, we had dealers and service folks that were taking care of that industry, that's when I started looking around for, okay, well, what's next? And ultimately, after trying to convince others that this PRT technology was the greatest thing since sliced bread, an expression that I don't think anybody really understands anymore.
I know, it's in my generation. I've heard it. I love it, yes.
Well, anyway, after attempting that for a while, the mayor at the time, Mayor Rich Tran, said, Rob, this is not the city's project, this is your project. And that was early 2019. That's when I said, okay, well, if it's going to be my project, then I guess I get to call the shots. Let's redesign what we're talking about here, put it together this way, have a corporate structure that allows for the community to be involved. We have a democratically elected board, elected by the members, and it's so far it's been working out great. The nonprofit mutual benefit corporation that we are is similar
to what you see with a savings and loan or with a Chamber of Commerce. Again, they're kind of membership-driven organizations. They're democratic and get their board elected by their members, kind of a thing. So that keeps it well-founded here in the community by having that kind of a governance structure.
Wow, and that everybody gets along and everybody has the same goal. It's wonderful.
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess that's the trick, is, you know, getting everybody on board with the same goal.
For sure, yeah. Well, obviously when you create a project like this, yeah, you want that synergy. But at the same time, I mean, you've got an altruistic goal of making the community a better place. So it's not like you guys are just in it to make money or anything like that. The MilpitasPRT.com project is really for the community. I mean, it's like you said, it's community.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's community-based.
And, but let's not forget that we really are in a serious climate crisis here. And I'm getting on in years here, but I plan on being around for a few more decades.
Yeah.
And our climate crisis is going to get horrendously worse in the next few decades if we don't do something serious to change our ways and reduce our CO2 emissions. So part of what I'm doing here is, preserving my future.
Right.
To have a future for myself, in addition to my grandkids, my two girl grandkids. So.
How sweet. Yeah. Well, that's very admirable. And, you know, it just shows you that an intellectual like yourself who has that creative side and becomes an inventor can do really beautiful things that, you know, service others, not just out to make money for yourself. The Milpitas PRT project is really admirable. And I'm really happy to meet you. I'm so glad that we can introduce this subject to our population who listen to KCXU, and hopefully, you know, keep our fingers crossed. And what sorts of things are you doing? Because I know money to get the project off the ground, you're looking for $6 million, which sounds like a huge sum of money. But in this valley, we know that people have that in their bank accounts. You know, those that are well off and that can that have been blessed can donate to Milpitas PRT project. And let's talk about that for a minute or two, the funding behind it.
So, as I mentioned, the funding can come from any of a number of different sources, whether it's foundations, investor groups, the federal or state governments. They all have an interest in finding climate solutions.
Mm-hmm.
So the money is going to be one major aspect of getting this project to work. And in the realm of public transit, $60 billion for this project is not expensive. I mean, we look at the BART extension they're talking about. $12.8 billion is the latest estimate. And so we're just saying, hey, if you just use PRT technology, you could do that for, less than $1 billion. In fact, you could probably do it for, let's just say it's
that's a lot of money,
$1
billion. Yes. Yeah, right.
And that would be provide better service, quicker service, sooner. Remember, the BART borough, the extension there, is expected to operate in 2037.
I know.
Well past the time when our scientists are telling us we need to reduce our CO2.
That's true. Yeah, that's a very big point.
And that's not even mentioning all the embedded carbon in a project that huge, a mega project that's going underground and using all kinds of steel and cement to create a tube that's 50 feet in diameter. I mean, we are talking a major investment of money and materials and time. And we don't have a heck of a lot of any of those to be spreading around on projects that are not going to have a high ROI, return on investment.
Right. And in your company, in your nonprofit, LoopWorks, you guys got started in 2020, correct?
Yes. That's when we filed the paperwork, and at the end of 2020, we became official.
Yeah, that was during the pandemic. So everyone had a lot of time to think about projects they could do and what would be viable and so on. How many people are involved in LoopWorks? Because this is an ambitious project.
We've got a core group of 3, 4, 5 people, and then we've got a more extended group that stretches out into the community who are supporters, but don't have a lot of resources to put into the project. And then And then, of course, everybody in the PRT industry is interested in getting something built here in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of folks vying for that to be first, but we may have a lead on things because in addition to the money you need for the project, you need the easements and you need the public support. And
yeah.
we've been working on generating that public support for a number of years here, and we believe that there is so much value to this project that getting the easements, once we line up the money and the public support, getting the actual easements should be relatively easy, simply because everybody is going to be wanting this project
okay.
to actually be successful.
And, right. Our guest today is Rob Means from Loopworks at milpitasprt.com. You can reach him there at milpitasprt.com. Rob, you said something very important, of course, about having the community input and having people. How and why is that important? I know obvious reasons you want them to use your personal rapid technology, but you referred to it twice. So I was wondering if you could explain that, please.
Well, when people question it at all, I point out to them the hotel that did not get built at the end of Jacklin here in Milpitas. There is a property there that is ripe for redevelopment, and the owner wants to put a hotel there. The land is zoned properly. It's right near the freeway, near an off-ramp. It makes just a heck of a lot of sense to put a hotel there.
Mm-hmm.
But the local neighborhood got together and said, no, we don't want a hotel here. You know, it's going to be, you know, 5 stories tall, and then we don't want it. We don't like it. Keep it out of here. And that is an example of how if you don't get the community supporting your project, then your project really has, even though it's a good project.
Wow.
It makes so much sense. It was, like, anyway.
Wow.
If you haven't got the public support, it ain't going to happen.
You know, it's funny. You just think, like, why wouldn't anybody want to support a PRT project in their neighborhood? People have a number of reasons.
It's new. It's different. There is that. You can actually see this stuff. It's up there 16 feet in the air, you know. You can actually see it. So there's, you know, the minimal objection to the minimal visual intrusion of the technology. But if you've ever been to any public meeting where they had the NIMBYs show up and not in my backyard,
correct,
they will pick up any kind of excuse they can think of to say this is why it shouldn't happen, whether it makes a lot of sense or not. So what we're trying to do is get ahead of all of that and get a good solid basis of people supporting the project before we actually start talking about, okay, we're going to put one of these down, you know, this street here, which is near you, and, you know, you'll actually be able to see it. So what are you going to be objecting to the scene, or are you going to say, hey, this is a good idea because I can walk just a couple of blocks, get on this system, get myself to the BART Transit Center, get myself to the Great Mall or these other schools or whatever that's going to be connected with this system. We believe that all the advantages, the benefits of this technology and this particular demonstration project will win people over so that we've got the public support that we absolutely need to make this happen.
Right, right. And not to fear anything that's new or different. Not to fear the fact that it might be, you know, something they're afraid to use, but once they tried it, they would love it, and it's a point-to-point and fare-free rides at this point.
Yes, for this minimal system, we're planning on having the rides for free in this area because it's such a benefit to the, you know, all this entire area, because this is the metro area of Milpitas, and it's got about 20,000 people, or will as soon as it's fully built out, right here in this concentrated 1 square mile area. Kind of a deal. So it makes sense.
The technology
really makes sense for this particular spot, largely because the area is chopped up by major barriers. We've got 2 major roadways, we've got 2 rail lines, and we've got a couple of creeks in the area. And it just makes it difficult for people, whether they're walking or bicycling or scootering or skateboarding or whatever, to get around the area. It's just it's just kind of easier to get in your car and drive the distance, because now you're going to have to be dealing with this extra distance and these traffic and anyway.
Okay,
we're going to build above that, join the system right above all of that, and get to wherever you want in this area.
Understood. Okay, so that was the genesis of your idea. Knowing that there was these impending roadblocks, so to speak, the freeways, the existing transportation issues, and all of that. And then you said, hey, I think we can rise above this. We can put in a system that will allow people to go, as you said, in a duo loop around and around to different places within a... And you said the anchors were the mall and the housing areas and major designs...
And obviously the BART Transit Center. And basically we're talking about, 12 stations in roughly 1.5 square miles of service area, which is about the ratio we're thinking makes sense, of about 8 stations per square mile. So this is just going to be a great demonstration project for some of the concepts that the PRT guys have been playing with for decades, but modern transit people haven't really caught up with, apparently.
Fair and fascinating. Rob Means is our guest. The Loop Works project that he's talking about is inspired by rapid adoption of advanced transit that dramatically reduces sector emissions and basically gets people out of their cars, gets them to walk a little bit and get up to the PRT pods.
Yes, that walks a little bit part also plays into our public health. As strange as it might sound, the average New York City resident, seems to be healthier than the average person across the country, and it apparently tracks down just to the fact that they have to walk to and from a transit stop.
Right, right.
Just walking to and from a transit stop seems to make a big difference in public health, so we're looking forward to seeing some numbers pop out there, too.
Oh, that's going to be wonderful, because we all need to get out of our cars. We really do,
yes.
And walking and then being... making new friends and, just enjoying the outdoor atmosphere, whatever that happens to be. I mean, it's going to be, it's like you said, better late than never. I'm glad that your Loopworks nonprofit company has decided that this is the project you're inspired by and that you're going to take to fruition. And I really wish you a lot of luck, Rob Means. This has been a delight to talk to you, and Rob Means is the innovator, one of the innovators of a small nonprofit group in Milpitas called Loopworks, and you can reach them at milpitasprt.com. That's their website. They have a wonderful video done by your wife, Carol, and just like lots of information on this website. You've done a great job. Your website's very easy to navigate and has all kinds of information. So milpitasprt.com is where you'll find Rob Means' project of personal rapid transit. And Rob, as we sign off, is there anything else you'd like the general public to know about Loopworks?
Anything to know about Loopworks?
And we covered a lot.
I think, just repeating a couple of things. We've got the fact that this technology, if proven here, could be applied anywhere because there's no restrictions on the technology itself. The other thing is that the technology is versatile. Right now we're talking about a small dual loop system, but earlier we talked about having an area-wide system, whether it's 10 square miles, 100 square miles, or bigger, to serve the entire area. But going down the other route is down to small, there are a number of barriers that are preventing cyclists from getting, where they want to go just in our valley here. And this technology could actually be kind of a small one-off barrier crossing system that just has the two stations on either side of the barrier, and you just get into one of the cabs, you go across the barrier, you get out, and you're on your way kind of a thing. And it costs a lot less to build than a standard pedestrian overcrossing. So the technology is, like the personal computer, is a very versatile tool that can be applied in all kinds of situations. But we need to get the first system up and running so that we've got a better handle on what it costs and what it can do. And that's why we're trying to get this built here in Milpitas.
Right. And it's powered by electricity, correct? Generators?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes, and because Silicon Valley Clean Energy is providing our electrons here in Milpitas, it will be clean electricity, not generated by some coal power plant back in the Midwest.
Oh, fascinating. And, you know, have you reached out to our Transportation Secretary, Pete Buttigieg? Because it sounds like such a perfect project for the Transportation Department to get behind. Or is that too grandiose?
I actually have reached out to various DOT people and agencies, but like so many other of my outreach attempts, no one ever responds. It's like this technology is too hard for them to wrap their heads around, or, you know, I really can't explain it, because none of those people come back and say, Rob, this sounds like it might have potential, but I don't really want to talk to you because whatever reason.
Yeah, right. Gosh,
and it's been a bit frustrating and a bit confusing, but it certainly isn't stopping me.
Right.
Because eventually, you know, this technology will catch fire and we'll get something done here.
Yeah. Yay. Go, Rob. Yeah. And you know what? That's exactly what it takes. You hear about these things all the time where, you know, they say, yes, we started in 2000 and now it's 2024 and it took, or that's actually too grandiose. Let's say, like in your case, it started your company, your Loopworks nonprofit, came together in 2000 after a conversation with your mayor of Milpitas at that time, Mayor Tran, and he said, yeah, this sounds like it's a you project. And you said, yeah, well, I think it's going to benefit lots of people. Now here we are, fast forward 4 years later, four and a half, and you're working diligently with this small group in your nonprofit to make things happen. And yeah, it takes time. So I'm so glad to know that you're behind it 100%. Of course, Carol's behind you and behind the project 100%, your wife, and you've got others in the group. And, you know, it takes a village, as they say. So this is like, I'm so proud of you for doing it. And I hope that you get there. And if we can do anything at KCXU to help you, you know, in the future, we will certainly do that.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Belinda.
Yeah.
This has been fun. And yeah, there may be something, so we'll be talking later.
I hope so. And we want to thank you, Rob Means, for being our guest today on KCXU. KCXU is a nonprofit radio station. And we want to thank our engineer, founder, and all-around good guy, Manu Martinez, who's responsible for this broadcast at the beautiful KCXU studios. And KCXU is 92.7 on your FM dial. And you can reach us at 408-915-5494. Our phone number, once again, 408-915-5494, or media at kcxu.fm to let us know about any particular ideas you have, something you'd like to hear on the radio. And again, thanks to our guest, Rob Means. Good luck, Rob, with Loopworks, and we hope to see the PRT pods out there very soon.
Yes, thank you very much for the time and the opportunity.
You're welcome.